Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jacob Albrocht, Tommy Caster. This is Sports Daily on Wichita's number one sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
And happy Monday to you, everybody, here in the Sports Daily family. Jacob Albrocht, Tommy Caster, Jad Chambers producing for us, and we are ready to roll. Another wild weekend of football to make our way through on a Monday, a reaction Monday, if you want to call it that. A lot to react to. Great wins for both Kansas and Kansas State. As fun a college football weekend for the Sunflower State as I can remember in my time here. And a not-so-great NFL weekend, really for anybody, it seems like. A lot to get to. We're going to focus mostly there. News with the Pro Bowl today coming down. We'll get to that later in this hour. The Wichita Wind Surge getting ready for a playoff game coming up tomorrow night at Riverfront Stadium. So if you want to potentially see your last chance to see them, if they win tomorrow night, they'll play then a clincher on Wednesday. But the Wind Surge in either the final game or final two games of their season coming up tomorrow and Wednesday. But it's a football weekend and it's a football Monday here, Tommy, as we try to sort out the mess of the NFL. We're going to talk a lot about college football coming up in the second hour. So KU, K-State fans, we'll have you covered. We're going to start with the NFL. Another primetime dud last night. We've got butt punts, Tommy. We've got the Orlovsky making an appearance again. We've got teams beating teams they have no business beating. And we are 3 weeks now into the NFL season, and there are two unbeaten teams remaining, depending on what the Giants do tonight. Are you kidding me with the NFL this year? Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, good morning, Jacob. I'm glad you're the captain of this ship today because I have no idea where to start. There are so many different things going on in the NFL right now, and I know we're going to talk at length about the Kansas City Chiefs later on in the show because there's a lot to get to with that. But just overall, the landscape, it's wild. Like, it's insane, and we're 3 weeks in. And, you know, and maybe it's just recency bias, but I don't remember it being this crazy this early in any year prior to this one. So, man, I'm glad you're going to direct us through it because I don't even know where to start.
Well, and the Chiefs are coming in the next segment because, you know, they lose, they play like doo-doo, and there is a little lingering concern about a halftime altercation that we'll get to between Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy, and it's only concerning because of all the rumors swirling in the offseason. But we'll, you know, we're going to go dive in full to the Chiefs in our next segment and tomorrow with Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network. But it just is like, I mean, it's not just the Chiefs. Like, who are the best teams? I mean, Philly and Miami are the only two unbeatens. Again, depending on what the Giants do tonight, but we're not going to pretend the Giants are in this conversation because they're not. I don't know what to make of everything. You know, the Packers get a nice win. And sort of, reestablish themselves a little bit. Chicago is 2-1. Are you kidding me? Chicago? What? Okay. I guess we'll have to just deal with that because they're terrible. It's been so strange. And last night, let's start here. Remember, it wasn't Tommy, and you and I both had the same thought on this, and we basically put it out into the universe about the same time yesterday, and I'm sure everybody's thinking about it. We're not even a month from thinking the AFC West might be one of the toughest divisions in the history of this league, and the AFC West looks like garbage through 3 weeks. I mean, the Chiefs fumbled it around and stumbled their way through yesterday. They clearly look the best of the four. But Denver? What was that last night? I mean, they came away with a win. Good for them. The Chargers get housed by Jacksonville, and the Raiders can't do anything right.
Yeah, I mean, think about this for a second. The Denver Broncos are one final drive away in week one against Seattle from being 3-0. I mean, and all we've talked about is how terrible their decision-making is and the game management and the clock management, all of that with Nathaniel Hackett as a first-time head coach. He and Andy Reid have the same record right now. They're both tied for first place in the AFC West. Now, granted, the schedules have been a little bit different for both of those teams early on here. But, man, I mean, it's bizarre. You know, obviously, Justin Herbert banged up for Los Angeles. That's not good. And Brandon Staley facing a lot of questions about leaving Justin Herbert in that game when they were down 38-10 against the Jaguars, who all of a sudden look like a legitimate football team. That's a different topic altogether. And then, yeah, the Raiders, the team that there were conversations about the Chargers also, but a lot of people were crowning the Raiders as being this really, really potentially dominant team in the AFC West with the acquisition of Devontae Adams in the offseason. They brought over Chandler Jones. Josh McDaniels is this offensive guru and had been for a long time and learned his lesson when he was in Denver, and he's going to be better now with Las Vegas. They're 0-3. They're 0-3. And yeah, this AFC West is bizarre, and I don't even really know what to make of it right now.
I don't either. And I'm raising my hand on somebody who thought the Raiders were going to be good this year. And they still might be, but the adjustment to Josh McDaniels has been staggering. It seemed like such a nice fit, right? With Derek Carr's skill set, you know, his connection with Adams. But I feel like teams right now are just taking Adams away. And that's been it. So I don't know what, you know, the Raiders, can they rebound? Sure, they can. But it's tough to say. I'm more surprised by the Chargers yesterday because Herbert was active and they still got smoked by the Jaguars. And we're coming out of a week where the Chargers looked better than the Chiefs did in that primetime game. Now, the Chiefs won that game. They found a way to win that game. I have real concerns about the Chiefs. Talk about it in the next segment. Real concerns. But they do look like they're better than everybody else in that division. I mean, they do. Tommy, do you know who has the second best point differential through 3 weeks in the NFL so far this year? The first best you might guess is Buffalo. Who do you think the second best is off the top of your head if you haven't looked yet?
Jacksonville?
It's Jacksonville.
Wow.
Jacksonville was expected to be picking at the top of next year's draft.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen. Trevor Lawrence looks like he's the kind of player that we thought he was going to be. It was the Urban Meyer effect, clearly. Doug Peterson has unlocked him and unlocked them a little bit. Lawrence has been pretty good. Like he's been pretty to real good so far this year, which is great because we've all followed him for so long. But they're doing everything well. They're playing, you know, they're playing great offensively. They're playing pretty good defensively. And they came in and, you know, they traveled coast to coast and crushed the Chargers, who were the two teams who we assumed are two Super Bowl contenders who had 10 days to prepare coming off of a short week and into a long one. The Chiefs and Chargers were two of the teams that looked the worst yesterday.
Yeah,
by
are
what
you
we
ready
expect.
Yet? Are you ready yet to say there's a potential that Jacksonville could win that division? I mean, it's not a strong division.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from what we've seen through three games, there's no question. I mean, we saw Indianapolis up close and personal yesterday, and they beat the Chiefs, and they still didn't look good on their way to that win. Tennessee doesn't look good at all. They got the win against Oakland, Vegas yesterday. And Houston, we know what Houston's going to be. Houston's going to, you know, they're probably going to play really hard each and every week under Lovie Smith, hang in there in a lot of games, but going to have a hard time winning a lot of those games. But yes, I mean, Jacksonville by far has looked the best in the AFC South. We saw Cincinnati bounce back yesterday. Baltimore got a big win. Maybe Baltimore's more for real than me. I don't know. The NFL has lost its mind. And I think, and I don't want to be hyperbolic here, but I've thought about it quite a bit over the last 24 hours. I don't think I can remember a crazier first 3 weeks. We know it because we're betting it right now. Like, we're now 3-for-3 on doing really well in college football coming into the NFL Sunday, and just, it's a massacre. Like, it is unbelievably hard. Like, you don't hit anything. It's like you can't win a bet in the NFL. It's insane.
Yeah, I took all of my winnings from college football on Saturday, blew it all yesterday on NFL bets. I mean, you're right. I don't think I hit on literally, I mean, maybe one bet, and I think I picked the Eagles to cover the spread against the Commanders, and that was basically it. After 3 weeks, I'm in a survivor pool where I had 5 picks. I'm done. I'm out after 3 weeks. I can't even pick a team to win straight up. It's that bad. At least I can sit back and I don't have to worry about picking a team, you know, from here on out. But, you know, you mentioned the dud of Sunday Night Football in primetime. It was a dud throughout the entire day. I mean, for the main games that I would imagine most people in this market watched, Kansas City and Indianapolis in the early window, that was a dud of a game. And then you go into what, America's game of the week, quote unquote, with the Packers and the Bucks. That was brutal to sit through until about the last couple of minutes in that game. And then, of course, Sunday Night Football with Russell Wilson, who until, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter looked awful, and Jimmy G looked just as bad. It was a terrible overall day of football watching. I had to turn that game off.
I mean, I'm not joking. I was like, I am done for the day. I cannot. I went downstairs and watched a show with my wife. I had that game. I turned it on at halftime because I was solo with the kids last night. We were just goofing around. Turn it on at halftime. I think I left it on for about 10 to 15 minutes. And I was like, nope, I'm out. I can't do this. Not after today. I'm out. I turned it off. I never turn off NFL games. I couldn't do it.
Oh, and you know, how about a game that we haven't really mentioned much? And in spite of all the craziness, this is a pretty big story as well. The Miami Dolphins take down the Buffalo Bills in, you know, what is a huge statement win for the Dolphins. Now, keep in mind, Buffalo's defense banged up, and they didn't have anybody outside of Von Miller. I mean, they didn't have...
They could not deal with that weather.
They didn't have Poyer. They didn't have Hyde. They didn't have anybody defensively. I think they started 4 rookies in the secondary. We talked to Trey Wingo about it on Friday, and I remember him saying, this is as big of a game for Miami in the month of September that maybe they've ever had in their franchise. And, you know, sure enough, they were able to overcome a butt punt, you know, late in the game. And I mean, just bizarre things. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, this knocks Buffalo down a peg. I still think they're a top team in the AFC, but man, Miami's going to give them a run for their money.
Miami's for real. I think we did learn that. Tua is nails tough because nobody in the world thought he was coming back after he stumbled around after taking that shot. But I guess he cleared protocol. But yeah, I'm at Miami. But you know, we knew Miami had a chance to win that game at home anyway. I mean, it wasn't like that was a stunning outcome. It probably played out a little bit differently than any of us thought. But it wasn't stunning to see Miami beat Buffalo. I mean, it was stunning to watch Jacksonville own the Chargers the way they did. It was stunning to watch the Chiefs make as many mistakes as they made in the areas they never make them. I mean, there were some outcomes where you're just like, what in the world is going on here? And Here's what I think it all brings me back to. I think by the end of this year, there will be almost nothing, if not nothing, that we take away from what's happened through the first 3 weeks of this season. I don't know why it's happening. We had a very normal offseason. I can't figure out what is going on, but I don't think anything that we're seeing now will mean anything when we get to December. And the NFL's always like that. Like, it's always sort of, you know, week to week or handful of weeks to handful of week, but not like this. This is crazy.
I'm going to throw this out there, and I want to get your thoughts on it. It was a pretty normal offseason. I've seen people on social media discussing this idea, and I'm not sold on it, but I think it does warrant having a little bit of a conversation about it. Do you think the preseason being shortened to 3 weeks has contributed at all to just wild, like, and some things, like, some teams are looking unprepared, you know, the first few weeks of the season, and just, you know, making mistakes and shooting themselves in the foot and really sloppy play overall? Do you think that that can be a contributing factor?
No, because the game that was taken away was essentially the game that none of the starters played in anyway. We didn't shrink the length of time teams have to prepare in the preseason. We basically just took away a pointless fourth game. They get extra practice time now, quite frankly. And this isn't the first year we've seen it, right? We saw this last year too. So no, I don't think that's it. I just think it's weird. I don't know what it is. You know, Chris Collinsworth and again, I only turned on that broadcast for a very small portion of the second half because it was making me nauseous. But I heard Chris Collinsworth say something, and it really, like, it sort of perked my ears up a little bit. And I don't know how much of this he talked about during the entire broadcast, and I haven't seen it really talked about. The way that defenses played Patrick Mahomes last year and what they did to him, it sounded like, from Collinsworth passing comment, that, like, all the defenses are doing that now. And it's been a really hard adjustment for offenses to make because they just can't take big shots like they're used to, right? Everything has been shrunk down, and efficiency is key. And we know this is a league of adjustments. There could be something to that. If everybody saw the way that teams limited Kansas City, granted it was for a portion of time, but enough time to see that and think, you know what, maybe we should just try that all the time. If that's happening, I could see something like that, because this is the ultimate game of adjustments. But I don't know what it is. It's just so crazy. And I think it amplifies the craziness when you're trying to bet these games, like we are now in Kansas, where you're just like, I didn't even know where to turn. Like, what do I even, like, what's a good read on something? It's been outrageous. And we'll talk about, from the betting perspective, we'll talk to some of our betting experts and things later in the week here, but my goodness, what a wild and crazy opening to the NFL season.
I mean, if that's the case, if Chris Collinsworth is correct in that, you know, assessment, then every team did that yesterday, except for maybe the Chargers defense against Jacksonville. And that Chargers defense has Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa and Kyle Van Noy and, you know, some and Derwin James and some big time playmakers. And they gave up 38 points to Jacksonville. And Brandon Staley is a defensive head coach. So even if that is the case and that's what's happening league wide, for the most part, the team that should be implementing that, because they play Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs two times a season, they sure didn't do it yesterday against Jacksonville.
I have a sneaky suspicion that was one of those games where Staley's game plan was just severely outcoached by Peterson's game plan.
Yeah.
That would be my guess as to why that game happened the way it did. And that could have something to do with Herbert not practicing all week and the Chargers sort of being on the fence and what they're going to do and how they're going to play. And, you know, there were things. I was like, oh, man, here comes Herbert, and they haven't adjusted the lines. I'm going to go get it at 3. And I did. And it was even more painful to see the way that they played. But, you know, I think that one's more of a throw it out the window. I would imagine, well, we don't know Herbert's injury status. He looked okay to me yesterday. So I imagine the Chargers will provide a
decent opportunity next week, but I'm going to bet that Vegas doesn't buy into them being bad at all.
Yeah, hey,
gentlemen,
you mentioned,
yes, Jeff.
One quick thing I noticed that I wanted to, I kind of hate to steer the topic back to the butt punt. However, whoever was on the stick at Twitter for the NFL, did you see their official tweet with the video of that?
No, I missed that.
The official tweet reads, "Punt goes out of the rear of the end zone."
Oh, nice.
Very good job from the NFL there.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I mean, it was
my favorite.
It's great.
My favorite line from the entire day yesterday, you mentioned Chris Collinsworth. It was in Sunday Night Football, and it was Mike Tirico. And in the middle of just the insanity, Tirico just, he couldn't even hold it back anymore. He goes, "This is bad tonight." Like, he's the play-by-play guy for Sunday Night Football, and he's going, "This is bad." And he collectively echoed the thoughts of pretty much everybody in the country.
Yeah, I think he read the room well on that. That was a very small portion of the game I did watch. I did see that. I thought that was a good line, too. Whatever, NFL, we're going to keep coming right back to you. And you can just keep, you know, throwing haymakers if you would. Or maybe you can, you know, lock in and get things back to normal. Chiefs, they were a part of the insanity yesterday. We knew something was up. We knew something was up, but we couldn't put our finger on it. Well, we found out what it would be. It would be special teams gaffes and one of the team leaders and real good dudes in the NFL making boneheaded decisions late in the game. What? And a controversy at halftime, perhaps. We're going to get to the Chiefs. 869-1240 Chiefs fans, vent to us. We will we'll be your platform here. You can also find us on social media. We're chugging right along on a Monday, a reaction Monday, a what in the world is going on Monday of Sports Daily.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Oh, Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs. Five sacks of Matt Ryan and about a billion more pressures. They held Jonathan Taylor to under 4 yards a carry, and they found a way to lose the game. We knew something was up. We knew something was up. And boom, we see special teams mistake after special teams mistake. We see Chris Jones make an awful decision late in the game that makes no sense because it is so unlike him. And look, everybody can complain about it all they want to and that they threw the flag. You can't do it. You don't sit on top of the quarterback and then bark in his face right with the referee 2 inches from you. Like, you just don't do it. And he owned it after the game, as we would expect he would. Absolutely took the blame and handled it like a pro because he is a pro. But it just, part of the nonsense of that game and why, like, what on earth?
Yeah, I said it on Friday, and I don't think anybody wanted to necessarily believe me. I thought this was a trap game. I thought it had
potential. We knew it was a trap game. The line was telling us it was a trap game. Why was the you know, the action going to the Chiefs, but the line going to the Colts? Because big bettors were spending big money on Indianapolis. But how do they know? I mean, I suppose you can consider the kicking issues that Kansas City inevitably is going to have, but that doesn't explain all the other stuff.
I don't know. You could see it coming from a mile away, though. I mean, the fact that Indianapolis has had a terrible start to their season, they go down to Jacksonville, they get shut out on the road. Frank Reich is kind of on the hot seat. Matt Ryan not living up to the veteran QB that he was coming into Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor had been shut down, but he's one of the best backs in the league. Michael Pittman healthy. And then on the other side with Kansas City, it's pretty clear that in week two, in that Thursday night game, the Chargers were the better team on the field. And there were some issues with Kansas City. And so I don't know. My heart wanted me to be like, yeah, like I think the Chiefs will be okay. But my head was telling me trap game all along. And it certainly reared its ugly head yesterday. That's inexcusable. I mean, absolutely inexcusable. I'm not sure how anybody really was let on that team plane outside of maybe the defense, maybe Steve Spagnuolo. Like, he was the only coach that I felt like called a good game yesterday. You know, and outside of the Chris Jones penalty, defense. I mean, the fact they didn't have Willie Gay. Darius Harris, you know, stepped up and played really well. Nick Bolton played really well. They were able to shut down Jonathan Taylor without Willie Gay. So defensively, they played really, really good football. Outside of that, embarrassing.
And we're going to get into the bigger concerns for me in just a second. But we mentioned Chris Jones. Fred on the line. Fred wants to chime in on Chris Jones. Fred, what do you think?
Well, I went from ecstasy to just absolute death on that one play with Chris Jones. I mean, they pay these guys $1 million+ a game, some of them, and to be professionals. And so maybe they ought to act like professionals. I mean, I kind of felt like when I got to thinking about it a little bit that, well, maybe they were just practicing for the Ford giveaway to Brady game next week. So that's my comment, and I'll let go.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It is. And it's most frustrating for Chris Jones because it's so out of character. He is the ultimate pro. I mean, he is the lifeblood of this team outside of Mahomes and Kelsey. And he just, and again, after the game, that's why he handled it the way he did. Took absolute blame, said, that's my fault. I've apologized to everybody. It was a big mistake. I'm a Chris Jones guy, right? It's okay to say Chris Jones screwed up because he did. People were getting so defensive on Twitter yesterday. It's like, guys, like, I like Chris Jones just as much as anybody. He's the one who said he screwed up. I mean, I said it too, but like, he did. Like, you don't need to defend that. That was a stupid thing to do. All of that being said, I don't see the special teams being an issue for a season, right? They have one of the best special teams units year in, year out in football. Not worried about it. One-off weird week, albeit with long preparation time, which makes it even weirder. The defense outside of that Chris Jones mistake looked fantastic. Indianapolis looked terrible. They had 260 yards of offense, right? They were not good offensively. The Chiefs defense did a great job in that game. But Tommy, now 2 weeks in a row, I have real concern about the Chiefs' ability to push the ball down the field. And it's the Tyreek Hill thing, if you want to call it that, but it was a problem last year too when Tyreek Hill was there. The Chiefs, their offense has been it's been shrunk. Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Well, Marquez Valdez-Scantling should be, but he's not. But even Juju, Juju's not a stretch the field guy. Never has been. They have got to find a way to push the ball down the field because defenses are just shrinking things down on them, and the Chiefs' offense has not been amazing for the last couple weeks, and it's not that that doesn't seem one off. Like they don't have what they need in that capacity right now. They got to figure that part out still.
Yeah, I was really excited coming into this season about the opportunity to have so much depth at the wide receiver position. Like, yeah, they don't have Tyreek Hill anymore, but they don't have to lean on him all the time and lean on Travis Kelce all the time. They can spread the ball out. Mahomes can have a bunch of different guys to get the ball to. They can show all these different looks with a lot of different, you know, weapons that might not be elite, but they're all pretty good, and they've got an opportunity to go out there and, you know, do a bunch of different things that we haven't seen from Kansas City before, and that hasn't been the case. Travis Kelce, for as great as he is and how elite that he is and the best tight end in the National Football League, he can't do it all. He can't do it every single play.
Without a doubt. He tried to take ownership of the loss too yesterday because he dropped that pass in the end zone.
Not his fault.
No, yeah, he should have caught that ball, but no, the overall offensive woes, like, and he's a team leader. Both of those team leaders, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, trying to take blame for the loss. They're not the reason the Chiefs lost. They contributed to it, but it was overall. And Tommy, I say that it's a concern because what we saw on the sidelines tell us it's a concern. There is clearly frustration for Patrick Mahomes, and it's clearly coming in the direction of Eric Bieniemy, because they got into it when EB, rightfully, by the way, didn't let Mahomes try to go score. But when do you ever see Patrick Mahomes bark back at a coach? I mean, if Andy Reid had said, yo, Pat, we're going to take this in, that it's the down and distance is too long, like, we got to get this in, we got to just go to the locker room, what do you, Patrick Mahomes would have just jogged off the field. But clearly there's something going on here with Eric Bieniemy. You can see the video. Mahomes is very annoyed for a guy who just doesn't really get that way. Something's there. Mahomes was asked about it after the game. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I wanted to go try to score. I mean, that's just who I am. We were in a tough situation. I believe it was like second or third and 20 or and something like that. And probably the smart decision was to just take it. We got the ball at a half. Let's just go to halftime. But I'm always going to be wanting to score. And I mean, I pretty much just said, let me have a chance at it. And then he was just like, let's get back in our locker room and we'll get something going for the next half. And I guess, I don't know if that's an altercation, but I mean, that was the end of the conversation.
Yeah, it was an altercation, Tommy, for sure. I mean, we could all see it.
Yeah.
There was not much question about that.
Yep.
I think.
And, yeah. I mean, you look at there is. And you look at the fiery passion that Patrick Mahomes has, and Eric Bieniemy has a lot of fiery passion as well. And so I think it's easy. Like, if this was an isolated one-time thing, you could chalk it up to, hey, both of these guys are passionate. Things are not really going the way that they wanted it to go offensive gameplay wise. Chalk it up to just, miscommunication or a little bit of a disagreement, move on. It's all good. The problem is that there's somewhat of a history with this, right? And all these stories from over the off season about, these two guys not getting along and there being a rift and, of course, Eric Bieniemy interviewing for all these different head coaching positions, but not getting any of them. And that raises the question about what's going on with Eric Bieniemy. And that might be a conversation for another day. I did see, I don't know if you saw this, Jacob, but I did see our old friend Shady, our old friend LeSean McCoy chiming in on social media and saying that that's basically Eric Bieniemy. Like, he just wants to argue with his players. He doesn't want to do anything constructive, doesn't want to play call, doesn't know anything about offense, just wants to argue with his players. That's McCoy's words, and we all know his tenure in Kansas City wasn't amazing. But there's clearly something there. When there's smoke, there's fire. And all I know is that you're going to have another primetime audience against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers next Sunday night. Whatever this disagreement is between these two guys, it's got to be smoothed over and they've got to work it out before Sunday.
Well, they're going to not do it publicly, I wouldn't think, again, but it's going to be an issue. Andy Reid, the Chiefs don't want to, there's so much about perception and what is perceived, and they don't want it to be perceived inside that locker room that this is an issue, but it is. Andy Reid essentially took things away from Eric Bieniemy. If we remember back to the stories, he didn't have a contract for a while,
yeah,
right? And they weren't rushing to lock him up as you would. I'm not going to say that the Chiefs don't want Eric Bieniemy, but the Chiefs would much rather, in my opinion, I think the Chiefs would just rather him get a job somewhere. And there's something going on there. The connection is not what it used to be. And I don't know when there was a point of no return. The Bengals game was a microcosm of it and a big issue, according to some reports. And then clearly yesterday, we just don't see that from Patrick Mahomes very often. And as soon as Andy Reid stepped over there, it was squashed, right? So the issue to me, what my eyes are telling me, and just sort of Mahomes' tone after the game, which again is very out of character for him, is that Mahomes has a real problem with Bieniemy. And so I don't know what that means, and I don't know how much of a bigger picture factor that is to the offensive woes. I'll say this. Andy Reid has plenty to do with the game plan. So I think the overall issues we're seeing offensively, I'm not going to say, oh, this is all Eric Bieniemy's fault, because I don't think that at all. I think Andy Reid has a ton to do with everything that happens on that offense. So it's not, I'm not trying to blame Bieniemy for what's happening. But I am saying that this disconnect is problematic between quarterback and who knows who else, an offensive coordinator. And Andy Reid has tried to navigate this well, but at some point, there will be a point of no return. Maybe they can gather themselves and look great offensively next week. And they did look great offensively in week one, by the way, against Arizona. But they're going to play a good and a smart and a savvy defense again next week in primetime on Sunday Night Football. And here we go. I think next week is just unbelievably important for that offense. If we see them struggle now for a third straight week, it may be high alert time. And I don't know what they can do. The only thing I can think of is to include Sky more in the receiving part of the game plan. He obviously had an awful day on special teams yesterday. But you drafted the guy high. He's got to be a part of the offense. They're just not dynamic playmakers right now at the wide receiver position outside. You know, Travis Kelce is who he is. He's one of the all-time greats. But in that wide receiver, you don't have that playmaking dynamic wide receiver at this moment, and you got to find him. And Sky Moore seems like the most obvious choice. And you know, he had a great preseason in camp. I don't know how things are going now in practice. But the Chiefs have got to find something offensively, because that's 2 weeks in a row where it's just kind of like, that was a little bit uncomfortable to watch offensively. They just don't look like they're in rhythm at all.
Yeah, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 0 yards. Isaiah Pacheco had 9 rushing yards. Jerick McKinnon averaged under 3 yards a carry. The running game was not good. Indianapolis did a really good job of bottling that up. So yeah, offensively, there are a lot of issues. And you know what? That call on Chris Jones, that's a fluke. That's bad. But it's not something that is going to continue to happen. It's not an overall issue on the unit. But no. We've gone this entire time. You know, we've talked for nearly 15 minutes about everything going on with Kansas City offensively and, you know, that call on Chris Jones. I'm sorry, special teams, an absolute dumpster fire nightmare yesterday.
That's why they lost the game, for sure.
100%. I mean, you know, Matt Amendola should not be on this roster moving forward. And, you know, it's not good that Harrison Butker has been injured. He's been one of the most consistent kickers in the NFL throughout his time in Kansas City. Matt Amendola should not be on the roster. I mean, at this point, let Justin Reed kick it. The muffed punt from Sky Moore, which I'm not convinced that Sky Moore is the answer offensively at this point. I think there's still much to be proved by him. Just overall, a terrible, terrible outing by Dave Tobe's special teams unit. And typically, he preaches discipline. Typically, he's got a really, really good buttoned up special teams unit. He didn't yesterday.
You can find the story, by the way, on Mahomes and Bieniemy on our website, kfhradio.com. It's there. It's right there for you. Go get it. If you didn't see it, we got all kinds of stuff on it. You'll see what we're talking about. Let's give Earl the final thought in this segment. Earl, what'd you think yesterday? I can't imagine you're a happy camper here on a Monday.
Well, I called before you started talking about the Bieniemy deal, so you know, it was like you're mind reading. But I'm not quite as benign on that as you guys are. We scored 3 points in the second half of the AFC Championship game because of the rift between Bieniemy and Mahomes. This game, we scored 3 points in the second half, and there was a rift again. Look, man, Bieniemy needs to be out of there. It's that same old thing. It's kind of like Andy Reid when he kept his defensive coordinator around too much with a good team. He's got Ned Yost, Dayton Moore syndrome. He keeps people around out of loyalty, which loyalty is a great thing, to the point that it starts hurting a ball club. And when it's hurting the team because of the rift between the offensive coordinator, and by the way, if you read Bieniemy's contract after they did it, he has the say on the offensive game plans. You can put Reed in there all you want, and that's where the conflict between those two occurred, but he's the one putting them together. And I got to tell you, it was a crappy game plan against the Chargers, and his game plan didn't much look better yesterday. If you can say, you know, the Chargers got tanked because the game plan, you know, from Doug Peterson was better, I'm telling you, Bieniemy's not putting a good game plan together, and that's when the darn thing starts simmering, and then it blows to a head when that game plan isn't producing the way it should. So either Bieniemy pulls his head out of his butt, and he's been there long enough now that I don't see that happening. Or they get him gone, get a little fresh ear in the voice of Mahomes in that offense to get this thing turned around. That defense played Super Bowl caliber defense. That is what we are hoping for this year. Special teams, man, they pooped down their leg, that's for sure. But ultimately, the engine that drives this team is that offense. And right now, it's only hitting on 6 out of 8 cylinders because Bieniemy is a problem.
He is a problem. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, they do, and the Chiefs have tried everything they can to move him on. Like, they've been very public in there. He needs to be a head coach. He needs to be a head coach. We knew it at the time, Earl, when those reports started coming out this summer, and it was like, wait a minute, Bieniemy doesn't have a contract. I mean, we were here. I was here saying Bieniemy not having a contract is a problem, and it should tell us all something. The Chiefs don't know what to do with him. They don't want him, but there's this component there that he's being blackballed because of a racial issue, and they don't want to touch that. The Chiefs have been in a rock and a hard place on Bieniemy from the beginning. They don't know what to do with him, but clearly it is a problem. I don't disagree with you, but they don't know how to handle it, and now here we are.
I would say this. Across the parking lot there, you know, the Royals put on their big boy pants, and we all love Dayton Moore and what he did, but they realized there was a law of diminishing returns at that point, and put on the big boy pants and shuck the dude. You can do that. You can do that in the NFL. I mean, you know, through 3 weeks, offensive and defensive coordinators are being shucked. I mean, Denver brought in a guy to help on offense and manage a game for their new head coach. I mean, it's not unheard of, but it will never happen with Andy Reid there because that's how he rolls. We will go down and not be all that we could be because of his loyalty to Bieniemy, and which is a human thing that is great, but for us fans watching it, we're going, dang, it's like not getting a divorce because of the kids. And ultimately, years down the road, the kids are going, I wish you would have just got that divorce. So get him out. Let's get back on track and have a good game. Take care.
So Earl, I'll chime in. Yeah, I'll chime in real quick. Just kind of your thoughts on this. And I agree with you. Andy Reid is such a loyal guy and has been for a long time. But I can look in my crystal ball. I can tell you right now, Eric Bieniemy walks away. He goes to another job or whatever the situation is. I can tell you exactly who the new offensive coordinator for Kansas City is going to be. It's going to be Matt Nagy. He's back on the coaching staff for Kansas City. That's loyalty from Andy Reid.
People in Chicago would like to have a word about that.
It's going to happen. I mean, look, like it's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah, it's tough. Look, I kudos to whoever ultimately gets to ask Andy Reid about it today, because Andy Reid doesn't get mad very often in his media availability. That question's going to irritate him today, and it's absolutely the question that needs to be asked. Like, we can all see it now. You know, we heard about it before. We can see it now. So what are we going to do about it? We'll see. That availability comes today, and we'll have that to dissect tomorrow as well. All right, we'll have a quick note on the Pro Bowl. Things are changing with the Pro Bowl. We'll hit that next and then make a shift to college football in hour number 2. Sports Daily returns after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On the KFH.
I love this song. Reminds me of college. Tommy, the NFL replacing the Pro Bowl with the Pro Bowl games, which will be skills competition, flag football. I'm in on this. It just doesn't make a lot of sense in football to play a high contact exhibition game like that. I love the skills competitions anyway. I remember when those used to be a big deal before the Pro Bowl. Like when ESPN didn't have a ton of programming and you'd see quarterbacks trying to throw accuracy drills or whatever. Like, I think that's better anyway. I'm all in on this. I think it's a good call.
I couldn't care less. I didn't watch it before. I'm not going to watch it now. I just assumed for a while it's been a flag football game. I mean, literally, like, don't care. I think the last time I watched the Pro Bowl was when it was in Hawaii. And that was primarily because it's wintertime, it's January in Kansas, it's like 15 degrees outside, and I liked watching a show in Hawaii because it made me feel happy that, you know, I could kind of put myself in their shoes, like, hey, I wish I was there right now. Don't care about it now, ever since it moved. Not going to watch this. I don't care.
I don't know if I'll watch this, but I will be more inclined to watch this than I am the traditional Pro Bowl game, which is now going away. There was no need because nobody wanted to see anybody get hurt, right? It was like, why? Like, it's not, this will be better. And I think with the involvement of Peyton Manning and his career, I think it'll have an entertainment value that is much higher now than just the old game in the way it used to be played. So I'm in on it. You don't care. It's news. But yeah, the Pro Bowl doesn't move the needle much for me either. We'll see. We'll see when the time comes this year. All right, we're going to shift away from pro football. It was a massive college football weekend. KU fans, K-State fans now. How you feeling? We'll get to both as we make our way into hour number two of a Reaction Monday on Sports Daily.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.